Thanks so much for joining us. It's time now for this week's Nebraska Wheat Report, brought to you by the Nebraska Wheat Board. And this week we're joined by Jake Westland. He's Vice President of Policy and Communications with the National Association of Wheat Growers. Jake, thanks so much for taking time to join us this week.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me today.
Well, we're going to talk about a few things here today, but first I want to get an update, just broadly speaking, on the farm bill. This has been in the news a lot lately, and bring us up to speed on what's happening.
Yeah, so the farm bill, this is something that NAWG at the National Association of Wheat Growers has been working on for over a year and a half. Our board met not this past summer, but the summer before to outline our initial farm bill priorities, which we have further refined over the last year up until Commodity Classic earlier this calendar year. But we have very much been in advocacy mode, working to educate new members of Congress, our members who have been elected since the 2018 Farm Bill was enacted. There's about half the lawmakers inside of Washington, D.C. have never voted on a Farm Bill. So there's been a key piece of educating and advocacy that we've needed to kind of help lay the groundwork for getting a Farm Bill reauthorized here in the near future.
So the timing of this conversation is pretty good, because earlier this week, of course, a new Speaker of the House was named, was elected, Congressman Mike Johnson. What does this announcement play in the role of the Farm Bill for our ag producers across the state?
Yeah, as you outlined earlier this week, Mike Johnson of Louisiana was elected Speaker. It's an important step, right? Because we've seen a couple weeks of just paralysis in the House, where lawmakers have been prevented from moving forward on any sort of legislation related to the Farm Bill, appropriations, what have you. But that has kind of been the theme for almost 3 weeks. But this kind of goes back, because we've seen in September, Chairman G.T. Thompson highlighted to, you know, the community that the Farm Bill is, he's been very optimistic in cheerleading getting a Farm Bill done this year. But we've been plagued by not being able to get an appropriations, a full fiscal year 2024 appropriations package passed here in Washington, D.C. and signed into law. We've seen the bills get out of committee, get brought to the floor and either fail or get held up through procedural issues, but we don't have a full fiscal year appropriations bill enacted. And right now the federal government, you know, we were on the brink of a shutdown at the end of September. We had a extension till November 17th, and GT has kind of made the highlighted the reality that the Farm Bill is going to take the backseat to the appropriations process, because it's important that we fund the federal government and work to get a long-term resolution there. So until we get a full fiscal year 2024 appropriations package signed into law, there's not really a timing where you can get a Farm Bill moved out of committee and across the floor. And that's kind of been the modus operandi for him and when he was working with Speaker McCarthy, and now with Speaker Johnson getting elected earlier this week. One of his cases for why he should be Speaker, he sent a letter around to the Republican Conference. This is something that's been reported on. In his letter, it kind of outlines how he sees the rest of this 118th Congress taking shape, right? Working through various appropriations bills in October, November, and December, trying to pass a full FY 2024 appropriations bill or bills, and then working on a farm bill. So that's kind of his time frame. And I guess it's good to see that he recognizes that that's an important piece of key legislation that needs to get enacted, because right now we're in a little bit of a goofy area where 2018 farm bill has expired. However, a lot of the reversions to permanent law are yet to take shape. It's important that before the new year, right, that's when a lot of the cliffs really kick in, like the dairy cliff, that we work to address that here in the near future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a helpful outlook on maybe what people could expect as we move forward now that we have that announcement. So, all right. Well, Jake, as we round out this conversation, is there anything else to add on ag policy that we haven't had a chance to touch on?
Yeah, I think just as we continue to go down the Farm Bill reauthorization pathway, it's important to just to kind of continue to talk to your lawmakers about why getting a Farm Bill is important to help support rural America. I mean, it's important that we continue to note that we need like the certainty, like we can't operate from, you know, any sort of short-term extension to short-term extension that doesn't provide long-term certainty for producers, for markets, and for the industry in rural America as a whole. It's important that we do continue to work in earnest to get that long-term farm bill enacted in the near future and work to get a bipartisan farm bill done here in the not too distant future.
I also had on my notes to talk about the National Association of Wheat Growers fly-in earlier this year. Did we miss anything on that that's important to touch on?
I think we hit on a couple key aspects of that. I mean, obviously, that I talked about the education, that's just a key component. And we will actually have our winter meeting here in January as well. So if we still see the need to continue to kind of beat the drum on the Farm Bill, if this timeline doesn't shape out, you know, we'll be continuing to hit the pavement and work to get like long-term reauthorization accomplished. Back in September, we hit close to 125 offices. We had folks in from across the country representing a good number of wheat producing states, just talking about our priorities. Like, number one, protect crop insurance. Also working to try to find ways that we can enhance crop insurance and our revenue protection programs like ARC and PLC, as well as work to support and bolster trade promotion programs like through MAP and FMD that are important to our cooperators, like U.S. Wheat Associates, who work to help enhance export opportunities and market development around the world. And those last two things, you know, trade promotion and food aid, we did see an announcement from Secretary Vilsack earlier this week just about related to $2.3 billion in Commodity Credit Corporation dollars that are being allocated to help support those in the near term. So $1.3 billion is being allocated to trade promotion to help complement MAP and FMD, which is the Market Access Program, Foreign Market Development Program, which haven't seen an increase in funding for almost 20 years now. So it's important that we continue to invest in those and keep up with our competitors. They have significant return on investment. And the other part, the other $1 billion, is in-kind commodities as part of food aid programs. So we are, you know, if you look on a global stage as well, like, there's a lot of hunger around the world, and wheat growers in the United States play an important role. Half the wheat that's grown in the United States is exported internationally. And food aid is a key part of making sure that we are doing our part to help support and combat hunger around the world, but also that it also helps benefit our national security as well. And this $1 billion in investment will help play a key role in that effort as well.
Awesome. Well, for updates on all aspects of the things you guys do at the National Association of Wheat Growers, Jake, what's the best way to stay up to date and get more information?
Absolutely. That's an excellent question. So our website, wheatworld.org, you can subscribe to our newsletter. We have a podcast that goes out pretty much every month, just kind of re-encapsulating everything that we do here inside DC that helps support growers around the country. And we also have a number of action centers, action alerts, to help support key legislation that is being considered by Congress. So please feel free to check that out as well. We have two alerts going right now just to support marker bills that have been introduced just to support trade promotion and support a bill that we're working on, American Farmers Feed the World, just making sure that commodity remain a key part of those food aid, and we don't want to see continued efforts to shift that to a cash-based program. So those are two ongoing efforts. So please do check us out at wheatworld.org or follow along on Twitter, Facebook, and those other social medias to kind of keep up to speed. And we also have on the website just like an events page. So if you are inclined to join us at any of our upcoming meetings, we welcome you there. We are going to be in Cincinnati, Ohio for our fall board meeting the first full week of November, and then in Washington, D.C. in January, and then again at Commodity Classic at the end of February. So just several opportunities to stay plugged in down the road as well.
Most definitely. All right. A great update from the nation's capital and how it affects our producers here across Nebraska. Jake, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Those comments again from Jake Westland. He's Vice President of Policy and Communications with the National Association of Wheat Growers. I'm Alex McAvica. That'll do it for this week's Nebraska Wheat Report, brought to you by the Nebraska Wheat Board. You're listening to the Rural Radio Network.